Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
This psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's one that says God has given us so much, we ought to tell other people about it. And thus he says, let the redeemed say so. And then he says down in verse 8, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And oh, how we ought to want to share that message. We ought to want to sow the seed of the kingdom, brother, as Brother Lester has led us just a moment ago. There's a song that was popular a few years ago and is relatively still popular, sung by Kris Kristofferson, entitled, Why Me, Lord? Many of you are familiar with that song. I like it. It's one of the country western songs that has a religious context that I do enjoy. I don't know what Kris Kristofferson is. I have my doubts about his truthfulness to Christianity. But I don't know who wrote the song. But the song could have been written by the psalmist David. The same tenure as is found in Psalm 107 is found in this little popular song. It's called Why Me? We normally understand Why Me, Lord? I want to read the verses to you, and then I'm going to use that as a means of introduction to what I want to say today. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving You for the kindness You've shown me? Try me, Lord, if You think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from You. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to You. And then the chorus is this, Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed You so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in Your hand. The first two verses of this song are questions, and they indicate the writer's desire and statement of the fact that he recognizes that he could not earn all the blessings that he has. It's a biblical statement, isn't it? It's a true statement. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Or tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that is worth loving You for the kindness You've shown? And then the next two verses are statements, really. Try me, Lord, if You think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from You. And then, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to You. And the chorus is a statement, really, of repentance, of dependence, of humbleness, of faith. Notice he says, Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Oh, don't we need to feel that way? Now that I know that I've needed You so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in Your hands. Why me, Lord? That's a question, really, that all of us as Christians should ask, isn't it? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve all the blessings that You've given to me? What have I ever done to earn the spiritual blessings that I have in Christ? It is not something that I've done to deserve the blessings that I have. It is not my own goodness which has earned for me God's kindness toward me. It is not because I am a special person or better or more worthy than someone else. Then why, Lord? Why me? And I want us to think about that today. Those of us who are Christians, I want you to think with me as I use the term I want you to put yourself there. And I want you to ask yourself this morning the question, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the spiritual blessings in Christ? And all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. I want to give you some suggestions this morning. Why me, Lord? Why do I have all of these blessings? Number one, because God loved me before I ever loved Him. That's why. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the payment price for our sins. And in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Before the beginning of my existence, before I ever came into existence, before I was ever born into this world, and before you were ever born into this world, and before your grandparents and your great-grandparents were ever born into this world, God loved you and loved them and loved men before they ever had a chance to love Him. Have you thought about it that way? That God loved the world, that He loved the world so much that from the very beginning of sin, the inception of sin, that He determined that through Jesus Christ and in Him, you could be saved. That's why. Why me, Lord? Because God determined, because of His love for me before I ever came into existence, that He was going to provide a way that I might have these spiritual blessings. And so in Romans 5 and verse 8, when Paul said, but God commendeth His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before I had a chance to love Him, He loved me. Even before you had a chance to love Him, He loved you. In spite of you. And He loves you now, in spite of you. In spite of your antagonistic attitude, perhaps, and it may be that you have that attitude. In spite of an indifferent attitude, and it may be that you may have that attitude, God loves you. In spite of that. And He wants you to share His blessings that He's provided for you. Before we could possibly love Him, He loved us. Gentiles are called sinners. Romans chapter 1, Paul deals, beginning with verse 18, with the fact that the Gentiles have become sinners. They had been removed from God. They had been counted as reprobate. And then he says in Romans chapter 2 that the Jews were also sinners. They had the law of God, but they refused to abide by it, and they too became sinners. And so then men were in sin. All are in sin, and all fall short of the glory of God. And so then he concludes really in chapter 5 and by saying, but God commendeth His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Why me, Lord? Because God loved us and loved me before I could ever have an opportunity to love Him. He loved me before I ever had a chance. And He loves you before you ever had a chance to even respond to Him. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's love is that great and that broad, that God's love is available and has been made those blessings available now in Christ Jesus for you who didn't deserve it and don't deserve it, and yet they're made available for you? God loves me, and He loves you. That's great to know, isn't it? Why me, Lord? Because God didn't want me to perish. That's why. Left in sin, without hope, and without Christ in the world, there is no hope, alienated from God, separated. Dead, undone, as pictured in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Dead in sin, separated from God, unclean, following the things of the mind which were fleshly. But He didn't want me to perish. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any man to perish. He didn't want any man to perish from the beginning, but men sin. And so He determined then to send someone. He determined and He made a plan that men would not perish. God doesn't want men to be lost. I think the beautiful picture is there found in Luke 15, in the parable of the waiting father. You see the picture of the father not wanting his son to leave, but his son leaving anyhow. Rebelling against his will, going into a far country, spending all of his wealth that he had, finally ending up in the pig pen or next to the pig pen, filthy, in rags, having lost his shoes, having hocked his ring, no longer possessed with anyone, by anyone, at odds with everyone, lost, undone. And here you see the father then waiting, wondering where the son is, looking and longing, waiting for him to come home. And then you see the picture of the son coming home and the father running to meet him. The father didn't want the son lost. He didn't want him out there next to the pig pen. He didn't want him out there in rags and hungry and starving. He wanted him to have the blessings of home. And so when that son made his way home, the father ran and meet him and grabbed him and said, "Oh, my son who was dead is now alive, and my son who was lost is now saved." And they rejoiced. And he put a coat on him. And he put the ring back on his finger. And he put shoes back on his feet. And they gave him a feast and a banquet. And God does the same for us today. He doesn't want us to perish. Why me, Lord? Because God doesn't want me to perish. He doesn't want me to be lost. He doesn't want you to be lost. He gave His Son. That's how much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Isn't that wonderful? Why me, Lord? Because God didn't want me to perish. And thirdly, why me, Lord? Because I am the recipient of God's grace, which covers the chief of sinners. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul's talking to Timothy, encouraging Timothy to teach other people and to keep on preaching the gospel, to do the job of an evangelist. And he reminds Timothy, he says, "God, in His great mercy, saved me, who am the chief of sinners." Now, his argument is this, simply, if God can save me, the chief of sinners, who persecuted the church, who held the coats of those who stole Stephen, the first Christian martyr, who went in all different directions striving to find people to put into prison and have killed, if God can have grace and mercy toward me, if He can save me, the very chief of sinners, He can save you, Timothy. And He can save those people you're preaching to. And He can save those people in Ephesus who've been involved in the worship of Diana. He can save those people who've been involved in illicit sexual activity. He can save those people who've been involved in homosexuality. He can save those people who've been involved in drunkenness. He can save those people who've been involved in debauchery. He can save those people who are sinners, because He saved me, the chief of sinners. And don't ever forget it, Timothy. You keep on preaching the gospel. You keep on preaching the grace and the mercy of God. Why me, Lord? Because God's grace has been manifested in Christ Jesus, as illustrated in the sinfulness of Paul, and yet the salvation of Paul. In Romans 5 and verse 1, this great apostle could write, "But we have now been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we now stand, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." He says, not only have we been saved by God's mercy and God's grace, but we stand in God's grace. We stand in God's mercy. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "God's grace has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And he simply says is that God's grace is available to all men. And then he says in chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, that He saved us according to His mercy, and we have been justified by His grace. And so then, why me, Lord? Because I'm a recipient of God's grace, which covers even the chief of sinners. Why me, Lord? Because Christ's death was intended Christ's death was determined. The death of Christ was planned for me and for you. We're to have the kind of mind that was in Jesus Christ, who left in equality with God, a face-to-face relationship, who came and took upon the form of a servant, and suffered in this life and even went to the death, yea, the death on the cross. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Peter says that he bare our sins to the cross. It was God's plan that man would be saved through the payment price of the death of Jesus, the atoning blood of Christ, which washes away sin, which death took place on the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends, the Lord said. And then he did it. A little girl was very seriously ill. She needed a transfusion. There was no blood that matched hers. A very rare blood type. Her little brother was called in by the physician and said, "Your little sister needs your blood. We need to get a transfusion from you so that she can live. Will you be willing to do that?" The little boy thought about it for a moment and he said, "Yes, sir, I will." So they took him in and they put him on that table and they began to do all of the work, and they tied his little arm up and they stuck the needle in his arm and they began to let the blood drain out, and he could see the blood draining down the tube. He began to get paler and paler, and the doctor said, "Son, are you all right? Are you getting sick?" And the little boy said, "Doctor, I just want to know when I'm going to die." And he said, "Son, you're not going to die. Did you think that by giving your blood that you were going to die?" And he said, "Yes, sir." What power there is in that thought. A young boy being willing to give his life for his sister. And how many other things, human ideas and dedication and devotion have you heard of? The hero stories of people who've given their life to save the lives of others. But there is no greater story, no greater sacrifice than God Himself, deity, taking on the form of humanity and suffering like you and like me on a cruel cross of Calvary, when He didn't have to do it, but He chose to do it. "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down freely," He said. And so Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich." Oh, that's why. Because Jesus tasted death for me. Why me, Lord? Because somebody cared enough. Somebody cared enough to share the wonderful story of Jesus with me. That's why. If nobody had cared enough to carry out the Great Commission, if nobody had cared enough to go and preach the gospel to the whole world and go teach all nations and every creature, if nobody had cared enough, if a preacher hadn't cared enough to stand before a group of people and admonish and plead and beg with me, I would not have the blessings of Christ. Had it not been for someone who was willing to say to me, "Lindell, you need to obey the gospel," a 15-year-old teenage girl, who said, "Lindell, you need to obey the gospel." And I did. And then later on in life, having drifted away from God like a prodigal son, to have other good men who were willing to say to me face to face, "Lindell, you need to repent. And you need to change your life and you need to come back to the church. You need to repent. You need to confess your sins. You need to be right with God again, that you might have the spiritual blessings that are in Christ." Why me, Lord? Because somebody cared enough to say, Lindell, you need to change. And then why? Because this wonderful woman right here cared enough about her own soul and mind to say, Lindell, we need to change. We need to repent. We need to either serve the Lord or serve the world, but we can't serve them both and be happy. And thank God she cared enough to say it. Because that's what did it. People who preached and people who cared enough to tell me the truth and people who loved me enough to say, you need to do something. We need to do something. So I'm reminded then of the fact that you cannot be saved without receiving the implanted truth which is able to save your soul, James 1:21. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And sanctify them in thy truth, thy Word is truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so then, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Absolutely not. I am become your best friend when I tell you the truth in love. And think about such passages as Galatians 6:1-2. If any brother be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of gentleness, lest thou also be tempted. My beloved brother, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Why me, Lord? Because somebody preached the gospel and somebody told me the truth and somebody cared. And like David of old, let the redeemed say so. Those of us who've received the great blessings of God, shouldn't we be involved in saying something about them? You know, I can tell good news about a lot of things. So can you. I can tell you good news about sales on shoes and clothes at the local stores. I hear it frequently. Did you hear about the sale down so-and-so? I can tell you good news about a political candidate or someone that I think is doing a good job in politics. I can tell you the good news about a restaurant, a car, gas mileage. I can tell you a good message about some place to go for a vacation. I can tell you all kinds of good news about all kinds of things. And surely if I have God's blessings to the extent that I have them as a Christian, I ought to be able to share those good blessings with you. And you ought to be able to share them with others. If God has blessed us with salvation, surely we want to share the good news which can save the souls of others. That's only the golden rule. Treat other people as you'd have them to treat you. Why me, Lord? Why do I have all of these spiritual blessings? Blessings of salvation, hope, assurance, joy, fellowship with you and with God. And eventually, the joy of heaven. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done that was worth your kindness for which I love you so deeply? Is there a way that I can try to repay what you've done for me? Maybe I can partially repay by telling others what you've done for them and what you've done for me and what I've done to come back and to come home. Maybe, Lord, I can try to repay by simply telling others about the spiritual blessings in Christ available to them. Why me, Lord? Do you have the blessings in Christ? Do you share those blessings I've talked with you about this morning? Do you have forgiveness, reconciliation, redemption, atonement, propitiation? Do you have salvation now? Do you have assurance and confidence now? Do you have hope of heaven? If you're here today and you have not those things, then I urge you to obey the gospel and be in Jesus, whom God has provided that you might have those things. And if you're here today and you've gone astray and you don't have them and you know you don't have them, then I urge you, and let me tell you the truth, not as an enemy but as a friend, repent. Confess them.